All right, this is Michael Jones with the Unfair Housing Oral History Project for the Metropolitan Housing Coalition and the University of Louisville Oral History Center. It is October 5th at 12:30, and I'm talking to Neil Robertson of the West Louisville Urban Coalition. So,
well, today is October the 6th.
Okay.
So, no problem, though. I don't want to go back to yesterday.
Yeah.
I just buried my one of my cousins yesterday. I don't want to go back to that. Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Let's move forward.
All right.
So, like you said, my name is Neil Robertson. Trying to sum up what I do and who I am. And basically, when everybody asks me what I do, I ask them, what do they need? Because I'm flexible enough to work in a lot of different arenas with different people. I'll take one instance that I ran the mayor's campaign in West Louisville when he first started. His first campaign, we were on 24th and Broadway. So I managed that office for him.
So that's Mark Greg Fisher?
That's Mark Greg Fisher. Even summarizing that, he went on to be the mayor of mayors, right?
Yeah.
You can give me some of the credit if you want, and you can give him some of the credit for being who he is. Then now, fast forwarding, he's kind of like the worst of the worst mayors.
Mm-hmm.
In a lot of people's eyesight. His favorable ratings are very, very low at this point. And you can give me some of that credit and give him some of that credit. Because I walked him around the African-American neighborhoods. I didn't do the church thing with him. Other people did that. But I'm saying it to try to get you to understand who I am. I went on, we done the graveyard. Greenwood Cemetery.
Okay.
It was in a horrific condition. So the West Louisville Urban Coalition, we went down there and brought in the community, and we revitalized it, shall we say, and got it up and going where people could go see their loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
I've done numerous community conversations in regards to whatever was going on in the community.
Mm-hmm.
Brought back the Dirt Bowl, which was shut down from the crime and the violence in the community. They couldn't have it because it was too much fighting and going on down. So I brought that back. I did that for like 6 years. Helped do reinstall the Juice Bowl, which is another black function, you know, for the common black person, something to do. For Thanksgiving, I put on something called a ceasefire event. We've done the all hands on deck event where we invited all the police officers, the council, the community leaders to talk about how we can combat the crime and violence in the community. I mean, I could go on and on with a lot of things that I've done. And just as on my way here, my brother said, you need to write all that stuff down because I go to do it. And it's not anything other than me doing it, trying to help the people.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
so how old are you?
Oh, I'm 58.
And weren't you? Are you originally from Louisville?
Yes, I'm originally from Louisville, Kentucky.
And where'd you grow up?
Down in West Louisville.
Which part? Which
36 in Broadway.
Okay.
Also lived on 37th and Market when my mom was living. She died when I was like 10, so I had to. We still own the house, but I had to move in with my grandmother on 36th Street. And that's basically where I went up and went to school, went to high school, played basketball, as you know, the basketball rap or die stuff. But so I played basketball.
Who'd you play for?
With Central at first, Central High School. Then I went to Butler High School, where I'm still on the wall. My name is still on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been back in there, though, but a guy sent me a picture. My name's on the wall for basketball. You know, so.
Did you play college ball?
Yes, I played college. I went to went to three colleges. Mm-hmm. I ended up in Washington, D.C., a school called University of District of Columbus, where we won a national championship, Division II, and we was runner-ups the next year.
So what was the West End like when you were growing up?
Well, that was like 40 years ago. Wow, I'm getting young. But anyway, it was a bakery on the corner, 36 and Broadway. So what we'd be considered a gang now, a large group of us, at night we would always sit on the bakery porch, steps on Broadway. But it was safe then. Nobody had to worry about nobody riding through and doing a drive-by. Then the shiny parkers were out the streets. So I used to, every day, I used to jog to the park. See, I'm health and fitness. I've been into that for a long time. I just stopped, like, okay, I'm eating and drinking and being merry now. But it was like night and day now, and you can consider to a lot of factors. We knew the police in the community. People wasn't coming in trying to buy the property at that point. People that didn't look like me coming to try to take over. Maybe if they weren't calling my grandmother saying, "Hey, do you want to sell your property?" like they do today. It was just like I said, and people would say we knew the community, and the community knew who we were. And I can't say that that's happening today, although I don't live there or down there, but I'm seeing it because it's almost like somebody get killed in that neighborhood. The whole community gather around and support the family and come down, the neighbors. They don't do that now. So it was more community-based then.
And, when do you think it started to change?
Okay, busing started in 77. Here are 78, right? No, it had to be 77 because I went to UML. Yeah. The progression of it basically started then. We were going out to their schools and saw their beautiful neighborhoods and the way they were living. And they came down here and saw how we were living and how profitable it was. Because see, when they were coming to bring their kids, you can best believe a lot of them wasn't on the bus. They were driving their kid to come up with them. So I'll say 77, and I know you probably say, "Oh, well, 77." That was when the site started, the vision started. Like, oh wow, we can come back here and do this. Progression of time. Because I know a guy whose father was a relative, a developer back then, and me and him talked. He always told me that his father. I mean, he just told me this. His father, he owned a lot of property, residential property. And what they do is come down here and buy property. And that didn't start in 77. I say during the crack epidemic, that kicked around. And people start selling their homes at that point. For cheaper prices than you could get it for on the market, because they were on drugs, the same. And these loans started coming and brought their property.
So you're saying with busing, there wasn't the kind of community that it was before.
Mm-mm.
Where kids went to the home school and
No, the people that came here for was coming in our community, they were seeing how, and maybe I'm wrong because I'm saying 77. They didn't want us to come out there to integrate with their kids for them. And I wished I never did too, to be honest with you. But I'm just talking about from a business. Maybe I started understanding things because I was like literally back to go to high school. I was 7th grade, 8th grade, yep. And I started understanding a little bit more things than I ever understood.
Is that when you start realizing that Louisville, like, was segregated as far as housing?
Yeah, because I'm looking at the fact that, look at the hell they're living. We on the bus. Yeah, I'm a talker. I don't talk. I'm looking out the window, looking at the houses, the green grass, things that we didn't have. I was like, wow, how are they living like that? Then we going back on the bus. I'm still looking out the window, but I'm going back to my home. I'm like, look at the way we live. No grass, dirt, everything. But every 5 days of the week, I get to see how they live.
Mm-hmm.
At least the houses. Yeah, that started doing busing for me. Because I'm able to really visualize instead of looking in a magazine or anything of that nature. I'm seeing these homes.
So you said your parents owned their home and so did your grandmother?
My grandmother owned her home. As well as my mother on her home. My mother worked at Brown and Williams. She was a single mother and five kids. And guess what? My dad owned he owned property.
Mm-hmm.
28th and Duncan. Dumanil. Going around and get the Dumanil to go across the street. He owned from that center to the middle.
Mm-hmm.
He built a big home, it was tore down since I came back home. He built a home. My dad was a wrecker. He used to tear houses down. He had contracts.
What was his name?
Charles Duke Winburn.
Mm-hmm.
So he had property. Like I said, he had property from there. I wish I had the picture to show you the picture because the house was amazing. There was none built like it in this city.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in the city he had the spiral steps going up and it set back. He had the whole parking lot. Well, that's because he used to have gatherings and stuff. But anyway, so they owned their home. Matter of fact, my grandmother owned two homes.
Mm-hmm.
713 South 36 and 714 South 36.
Mm. And so, was your grandmother originally from Louisville?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what was her name?
Mary Catherine Breckenridge. Mm. They call her Big Macy. Macy, that's what they call her.
Okay.
She worked for the city. Then the lady who owned the bakery, my grandmother was working with her. Then she became half owner of that.
Okay.
So my grandmother used to do a lot of political events. I mean, political things. That's why I'm so involved politically. And so people-oriented. Because of her.
Mm-hmm.
And people, it's amazing. Like, and I know I'm going off script, but how people that raise you, you basically become some part of them. Because
mm-hmm.
I used to, my grandmother, every morning, she'd be in the room humming the same thing. Thank you, Lord. Something she used to say. That look, and I'd be doing it sometimes, and my wife said, why are you saying that? You know, that same phrase she said, I'll say it. And it'll kick into me, I'll be somewhere, and I'll just say it. I'll catch myself from playing around with it. But she was a phenomenal human being, you know. And I hope everybody feel like that about their grandmother. But like I'm telling you, I'm sitting there thinking about that. She owned those two houses. Back, you know, this was the 70s,
mm-hmm.
in the 80s, they sold both of them back then. She worked for the city, always involved in what was going on in the community. Yeah. And she did okay with me, you know.
So she pretty much raised you after your mom died?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Do you feel like having that, living in that situation where you owned your home as opposed to renting gave you a different kind of mentality?
Well, it made me feel like I was part of the community, you know, mm-hmm. because we were homeowners. But a lot of people on my block owned their homes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot. I can't think of one person that were renting.
Mm-hmm.
On that side of it.
And this is
36th Street, 36th and Broadway.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
And so what school were you bused to?
Williams Middle School. Then I said I went to Central. I could catch the bus. Then I got kicked out of Central, so they bused me to Butler High School.
Okay.
And Shively back then, and Williams Middle seemed so far from 37th and Broadway when the first was going. But then I know get on the expressway, right down the alley, and get off the game and go, you know. But it just seemed so far that, you know, when we was coming and going up through that way, back way where those houses are, it was quite a sight. You know, for me, you know, our house wasn't, we owned them, but they were all right.
Yeah. And so, were a lot of people from your neighborhood bus with you?
Mm-hmm.
And what was the feeling at the schools where you went? The reception, was there still some tension about busing?
Well, my first experience at Williams Middle School, when I saw all these white, angry parents saying, "Get out of here, nigga." I vividly remember it. I'll never forget it because I'm like, what? These were parents. We don't want you here. I didn't understand what they were meaning. You know, I don't know. I'm in the seventh grade. They clearly didn't want me to be around their kids.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing else other than the fact that I was African American. Well, no, when I was black then. Yeah, so they clearly didn't want me around their kids. And guess what? Fast forward to now. They clearly still don't want me around their kids.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, is that all? No. But it's such a large majority, you know, of it going on. And we've been seeing that on the news. Our television is just our... That's our biggest vision of what America looks like.
Mm-hmm. So after you graduated for Central, you left Louisville mm-hmm. for school.
Graduated from Butler.
Graduated from Butler.
Mm-hmm.
So you got kicked out of Central.
Yeah, thanks for reminding me, but go ahead.
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
So
I went down to Arkansas University.
Mm.
My grades wasn't good, so I had to come go that summer so I could get eligible to play. Got into a little ruckus, got kicked out, went to Texas El Paso. This was during the summer of my freshman year. Now, before August, I got kicked out of two schools, college, university.
And what were you doing to get in so much trouble?
Being a good guy, man. You know, they said the good guys finish last, right? I was being a good guy. Well, one thing, when you look at the fact that, like I told you, my grandmother raised me. But really, she wasn't able to really raise me, if that makes sense to you. She was older. So I basically raised myself, you know, and then even fighting against grown-ups who was trying to mistreat me and not, and I know you probably said no, I'm like, no, clearly. Well, you know, because, you know, nobody, like my games, nobody was coming to my game. I had my father who was coming to the game. My grandmother couldn't come. Just my friend. And I'm telling you, I'm on the people's wall. So, and they didn't even like me neither. I didn't talk to them. I was real. Like, oh, I don't care about them. I don't come back to them. But it just lingered in after, even to now. Because if something I feel is not right, I'm going to speak up about it. I'm not going to wait to have it over. Let me give him another chance to do it. That's black, white, Puerto Rican. I tell you anybody. And if I live there, you can't do what I seen you do, because I know what's going on in the neighborhood. You're not coming in like me, and where I live at, you can't come see other stuff in my neighborhood.
So when you were at the away at these different schools, did you notice a difference between the housing situation there and segregation than Louisville?
Well, when I got to D.C., It was a crack epidemic. I was literally meeting people whose parents had died. They went to the college, you know, go to these big parties at their house. Yes, they do. Because they came home, homeowners doing college. Because their parents died. I'm literally looking at this guy. $90,000 home. This is like in D.C. This is like in 84. I mean, the crack epidemic, he ended up selling for actually nothing. I was a freshman in college, but it was all black in D.C. where I lived at. I didn't live on campus. I lived out. I ain't gonna live on campus. But I lived in a neighborhood. It was like, what's going on here in Louisville? Went on there back then. So I was able to really see it and see like the black store owners, the black laundromat owners, which I knew them. So I became, even in that community, some like I, you know, because a lot of people who own homes, they had what they call, they had these like the rooming houses now they have here, they had them back then. And instead of me going on campus, I lived in one of our rooming houses that was for the university, which was right in the hood in Northwest D.C. But I enjoyed it because I met the people in the community. I met the families. They were inviting me to the Thanksgiving dinners and stuff like that because I wasn't from there. So it started being more of not, I'm a university guy, I'm a neighborhood guy because I met the people in the neighborhood, country, because, you know, hey, hi, good morning. Yeah. You know, they don't do that. I'm like, but I'm running around doing it. And it's even to the day. And actually, that helped me. That helped me in the community with the older parents. And, you know, they were like, trust me, hey, you come over to my house. And, oh, yes, ma'am. You know, I didn't know. I'm from Kentucky, you know. Every good morning, people look at me. So, the same fight all around the world. Because I was going to Baltimore, Philly, New York. Just going, same game. The black community, everywhere I was going, was basically the same.
So when did you come back to Louisville?
December 1999, which was, the next week was January 1st, 2000. Came back. Brought a house on 34th in Kentucky. I didn't know, you know, I'm broke down. Second house from the corner. Right across the street from a church. Right on, yeah.
You still own that house?
No. No, I don't.
And so, what were you doing when you got back?
Really going around getting reinstituted back in the city. A lot of people already knew who I was because I played basketball. I knew a lot of guys, big name guys, you know, play ball. The city start coming, checking over. Or they start coming back, being some of our leaders in the community. You know, or the leaders call on them. And I was going around. I got back here. You know, I'm down playing basketball in the park, and I'm asking the guys, hey, where's the mayor's office? Anybody know where the mayor's office is? Because I worked with Marion Barry in Washington, D.C. I used to work for Marion Barry, which taught me tons and tons of things. But they didn't know because it was just like nothing was going on. Like nobody was doing. Yeah, we would play ball on Sunday. But I didn't see nobody doing it. I don't miss me with the big car, gold chain, drug. Miss me with him. I don't care nothing about that. Okay, that doesn't flatter me. I'm like, oh, you know, look. Well, I'm like, where's the do something man at? He's doing something in this. That's black. Yeah, that's black. Because if you look at the other ethnic groups, of men are doing things in their community. A part, a piece. It's just, that's just what's embedded in me from my grandmother. Like I told you, I'm always like, okay, what's up? What's up? What's up? Who's who? You can't, and guess what? You can't fool me. You know, all that old. I'm like, okay, no. that's not the way it's going to go with me. Since you won't, since the other ones won't listen, so I'll stop it for me. You can't do me. Yeah, first, the first try is to go in and say, everybody, stop everybody. And then when everybody's like, well, hold up, I speak for myself. Oh, you do? Okay, cool. You good? You good? Then let me go in for me. I don't care. You name them. I know them in this city. I've been around them. I talk to them. And black, white, I deal with Asians, the whole Asian community I deal with. The Hispanic, the Cubans, which is all the same. I know them. I deal with them.
Yeah. So when did you start this Western Urban Connection?
West Louisville Urban Coalition. Yeah. It started probably like in 2010 during the campaign, when I was doing the campaign with the mayor.
Okay.
I wanted to make sure that I have all the information that I was doing with him, that I had it too. Because I was going around setting up these meetings and meeting these people. I knew of them, but I didn't know them like I knew them after the meeting. As far as the pastoral, coalition, denomination, whatever that's called. And just a lot of different large organizations, this black organization based meeting.
Yeah, so why do you feel like we need another organization?
Well, because, like what I told you, from what I do, nobody was doing. I'm investing myself in that business to create not only the awareness and education, but opportunities for people to look like you and me. Because we're last in everything. I checked the jails, numbers on the jail, 63% black. We make up 24.5%. Okay, so you really do the math. It's almost like 63% white people, they must not break the law. They're not stealing. They're not out here using meth. They're not out here doing anything other than being law-abiding citizens. From what that tells me, 63% of a 24% population, from a 24% population. So where does that leave the people? Man, you're taking all these men in jail, all these men on parole and probation, basically using them as chattel slavery, as far as I'm concerned, because you can't make money in prison. And if you're telling me, you calling home telling me you're working there, you're working with 3 cents a day. Yeah. So I'm invested in everything. You wrong, I'm gonna try to make you right. Or I'm gonna come to you and let you know that you're wrong. Pastor whomever, or Reverend whomever, Bishop whomever. We come for you because, I mean, I'm not saying like I'm the brightest bub in the city, but I tell you what, maybe my voice would help change the conditions of the way you live and your family live.
Yeah.
And for safety.
Well, you moved back in 2010. In 2000.
Yes.
So right before merger.
Yeah, they were talking about that. And I'm like, what's this going on? Then I tapped even into that to know what that was all about.
Uh-huh.
You know, man. You know, so.
So were you involved in it way or the other?
No, I wasn't at that point.
Do you feel it's been a positive for the community?
Very negative for the community, for the black community. In terms of the way they redistricted, right?
Yeah.
So now voting is going to be different. So that means the people that they need in is possibly 70% likely to get in. And I'll take 70% anytime. So that's what that did. And it destroyed the black community in Louisville, Kentucky. It was like a paradigm shift for real. That change was so sudden. When you looked up and you saw what they'd done to the community. Look at what's going on now. 156 murders.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But the victims all look like you and I.
So do you attribute that to the dilution of the black vote because of murder?
I contribute that.
Like,
I contribute that to the everything that they've done in order to make sure the gentrification come down this way, based on the high crime, the high homicides, burglaries up. You move down here, your insurance goes up. The possibility of me living longer is not for me to live down here as a black man. And I don't care who you are. Remember that guy, Reverend Cosby?
Yeah.
Remember they pulled him over back here? They don't care nothing about you. Praise the Lord, though, you know. And I ain't mad at him, but that was just a sight to let him know, nigga me, nigga you. Yeah. And it's sad. And then they talked about change, but like I said, I've been here since 2000 for real. So that's 21 years. I wake up quick to a lot of things that's going on in the community. The way you have ravaged this community is based on everything that they've done. And like you talked about, the merger. Why is West Louisville not a city of its own? Like Auburndale, yeah. Auburndale, it's a city of its own. J-Town. Shively, little old Shively. But they're telling me over 66,000 residents down here, and they can't get together to have a union. I mean, a city council, have a mayor, have a police chief down there. And you know what? Let it reflect your community. So make it a black mayor, a black police chief, a black city council. And then people say, oh, you don't need coloring, but it's everywhere else. It's everywhere else. Do you check who's on the boards and who's on these things in these places? Who's making the decisions for you, me, and my kids? No, you're not doing the HOAs and all that stuff. No. Now you created this shit, the HOA. But they don't have it in West Louisville. They don't have that. That's a whole nother issue right there.
Yeah. Well, what's your feeling about the revitalization? You mentioned gentrification.
Mm-hmm.
Like now a lot of money is being put into especially Russell neighborhood. you know, they're redoing, they're getting rid of all the housing projects.
They already got rid of them.
Mm-hmm. Except for Park Hill around now.
They ain't going to do that for a while.
Yeah, I think they're just going to level that.
Uh-uh. They don't let them stay over. Let's see what it is. But I was laughing because we talked about all this money. 18th and Broadway. I moved back here in, like I said, December of 99, the week after Christmas. Mm-hmm. 21 years I've been here. That sore site on 18th and Broadway, they've never done anything. The old Philip Morris building, right?
Yeah.
Ride past that, and you'll see what the community is being revitalized to, lies to, built into. Nothing. They're talking. Okay, they put that, they get that over there. That's not for black people anymore. They're not going to move all those people back up in there. You can't smoke there, right? Come on, listen to everything. You can't have a man in your home if he shouldn't be there, all this stuff, you know. They're not building that for you or I. They're building that to make Louisville look better when those tourists come off the expressway and they accidentally make a right. They don't seem like, oh my God, they lost. So, you know, yeah, because, you know, they go deeper west, they're going to be like, oh my God. Place is a mess, and it reflects the leadership down there. Yes, I don't care if it's your uncle, cousin, whoever's out there, and the leader, you know their names. So reflect them to your community, because I've been here 21 years and it's been a wreck for 21 years. So you, but you're praise one of the black leaders there. I'm not praising any of them. You know what? I'll praise them when the community is cleaned up. When something's going on in the community, and they're standing up together to fight for what's needed, because the Walmart that supposedly went there, which would have helped boom West Louisville. It would have been a boom for them. Especially in that community. No longer do we have to go out to Cane Run and Attleloop and cross the bridge to do business. We can go right up to Walmart. But that was stopped every time something's going on. Like I said, nobody's speaking out because they're afraid that they'll lose your friendship. I don't want to be friends with none of them. And if it happens, it happens. I want God to say, Neil, good job. I don't go to that churches. I'm outside that church doing everything that I was taught to do, not even understanding that I was learning it. When my grandmother was having me out there with her, passing out half pint bottles to people to vote for so and so. They were literally doing that. I was young. I was right there, handing them out to them too. You go in there and vote for such and such, you get the bottle. So all the games that's been played and everything they've done, it's a reflection of West Louisville. Now it's a reflection of the whole city of Louisville because it's spreading. No longer just every murders in South and West Louisville. They're out on names that I didn't even know how to street. So now everybody's antennas up, but yet the same games are being played. Because the money that's being allocated down here to do the work is not hitting Black Louisville. It's hitting every place else for them to build. If you ride right now, you'll see them building. I've rolled down and they're building. They're moving, everything, construction work. Down here, they're not building. We can ride over, they're not building. Right now, I guarantee they're not building. Something's not going up. Even in all the money they gave Russell, to Russell, but you think they, okay, Russell, Metro Louisville. So ultimately, Metro Louisville is over that because if they don't come and make that their own place of business, like the city of West Louisville, larger than
probably. There was talk about incorporating West Louisville at one time.
Okay, they were talking about building that thing at Philip Morris for 21 years. They still haven't did that. So when you tell me they was talking about it, I'm sitting there like, okay, they always talking about it. But guess what? Go out to East Louisville. They're not talking about nothing. Guess what they're doing? They freaking building. They're building. But guess what? We'll have a conversation. Everybody come out and grandstand. Oh, we're going to break the ground right in Philip. Go past that. If I'm like,
but one of the problems with the Walmart was local active. It was Black activists
that were paid. I know about the whole thing. I was at the whole thing. So yes, yes, they're always gonna send you to attack you. They're gonna send you to attack you. Mm-hmm. They can't come do it. They don't have to. They're too smart. That's why. Here's how smart they are. Here, take this gun. Why are you giving this gun? But thanks. Now, with that one gun, you go murder 10 people. I just like me, but you doing my work for me. So the same here with all that. Going there, telling people that you don't want them to, oh, go down here and make sure we build a racetrack in your community. Yeah, a racetrack. Right? In a place where they say we're about like how many thousands of homes away from, you know, being like habitable for the people here to live.
22,000, yeah.
Yeah, come on, man. But we build a track, and the people sat there to talk about it. And Neil said like, no, we don't need a track. We need something different. So the track's up. Oh, the activities are down right now. Guess why? Because of COVID.
Yeah.
Right? You believe that? Guess what? Neil does. If it weren't COVID, it wouldn't be active like it's like now. Because if you look that up, they've done it in Arkansas. They had one in the hood. It lasted 4 years. So now that's going to look like that in 7 years. Remember Neil told you when you come to you, he said, man, I talked to this guy. He was a genius. He told me this was going to be ravished. And they don't know what to do with it. Weeds growing up out. So, like you said, so we're our worst enemies. Even they got some people black out riding around trying to buy your house from you, but not for them.
Yeah.
For somebody that don't even look like them, they don't even have their best interest at heart.
So you said that your grandmother was getting calls about buying her house.
Damn, back then up until her death.
Okay.
Up until her death.
And where do you live now?
I live out in PRP.
Okay.
Yeah, I live out in PRP.
And so why'd you leave West Louisville to go to PRP?
Well, and it didn't have anything to do with the crime and violence. It had something to do with my wife. Mm-hmm. See, I met her when I moved back there, probably like 3 months after I moved here. Mm-hmm. We started dating and everything. You know, I was living West End. You know, I think I already told you. And she come from New Albany, so I don't want to tap into that, but she's from New Albany, okay? Yeah. She don't, like where I'm talking to you, like me and her cousin, she don't see, I see red, she see green. Mm-hmm. Meaning, like, well, if black people just, you know, I'm like, no. It's things that, like, you know, this food couldn't get eaten unless I ate it. So, but I didn't prepare it. They prepared our food for us. And they guess what? I don't care what university you go to. I went to university. I went to all black. So, how does that translate back out in the community, back out in the world? What are you doing for somebody else? How are you fighting for your people?
So, how do you find PRP different than where you were before on 34th Street?
Oh, man, wow. Guess what? My community is, nothing's going on. We have the HOA. They watch stuff, and you know, when I forget to lock my garage and I'm out of town, they call them, hey, we're going to go, and we went inside and everything, checked everything. I'm like, oh, snap. Yeah. Did not stealing my stuff. They locked my stuff twice. Hey, man, I'm calling. Hey, look, man, I left my front door open, man. I'm in Vegas. Okay, so how does that translate? Just what I'm telling you. We're more of a community. We know each other. Down here, now they neighbors don't even know each other in the neighborhood. In the neighborhood. Don't get me wrong, when we had anybody get murdered. Yeah, you had a couple murders at PIP, two or three. But that was you guys coming in. Our neighborhoods. No, but I'll just decide. It's just a better place. My wife loves it. We had a home. We sold that home at PRP, and we moved into a condo because it was just me and my wife. Man, we're about to go buy another home, but it won't be West because my wife only sees the news. She don't ride down there. She's not, you know, don't know the people like I do. And she hears somebody got killed, not knowing that, you know, nobody's killed shooting at me. You know why? Because I don't do anything wrong in that regard. I ain't trying to take nothing from you. Don't give me nothing to sell for you. I won't accept it, okay? So, because I might blow it. And then when I do that, guess what? You come looking for me. Because you need your money.
Yeah, Shapley is very interesting because it's becoming more of an African-American community. Okay. A lot of homeowners moving in now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and my aunt, she owned her home in Shapley. She's owned her home for a while. When I went to Butler, it was my last year she got the house. Yeah, so she owned her home in Shapley. We go there and just sit on the porch. And man.
You go to Franco's?
Yeah, we'll go to Franco's.
I live on New Cut.
So. Oh, you go to New Cut? Okay. Yeah.
I'm in Kentwood
Hill,
so.
New Cut, you up there with a lot of Asians out there. Right? My Asian friends live out there where you're up on New Cut. Different community.
I've noticed that a lot of, like, you know, when you had Jay's Cafeteria.
Yeah.
And a lot of that, like, you know, the owner of Jay's owns Franco's, and it's all kind of moving south.
So, yes, we go to Franco's. My wife, she likes going to Franco's. But it's almost like that black type of business. You know, they done a report about this black businesses. I didn't know this. It blew my mind. That's how I knew. Because I always used to say 30%. We was 30%. That's why I learned about us only being 24%. That's why I learned about only 2.5% of business owners are black. I'm like, no, my homie owns a business owner. I'm thinking, like, my buddy them own, they own a couple of businesses. I don't know how they did that. But they had that that graph out. I'm sitting there, like, it blowed me away. 2 point smooth talkers. We up, you know, hey, so we need to get out here and, you know, sell something that's sellable. That won't take you and send you to jail. See, that's why I can come talk much shit as I want. Guess what? I'm not breaking the law. You pull me over, you can't smell marijuana in my car. You know, you won't find no gun on me. That's not legal. So I'm going to fight for my community. Is it helping? Probably not. Am I putting a dent in it? No, not at all. Because the same people that I'm preaching to are helping the people who want our property and our land get it.
Mm-hmm. So you said that you had helped Mayor Fisher get elected.
Yeah.
Are you going to be working with anyone in this current election?
Well, here goes the curve. I have two clients for something different other than the mayor. Yeah. Right now, I'm not. You know why? Because I'm sitting there looking like, okay, nobody that I'm looking at, even the front runner, who y'all think the front runner is. Is nobody that's going to help black people. Mm-hmm. And see, when Fisher was there, we discussed that. We talked about that. And the first, I'll say 7 years, he was riding with me, West End, coming down here to meet these people, meet this organization, doing the black thing. Go down there and see if you see him now.
Do you think that the Breonna Taylor events following that, you know, the shooting and then the
riot
protests had something to do with that?
Well, that, and he had to go to the mirror too and see, like, oh my God, oh, I led the people into a burning building. You know, and yeah, he sees his mirror every day. He had to look in the mirror. Mm-hmm. So he know he did the people injustice thing. From the Breonna. He's part of the Breonna Taylor thing. I protested out there with them young people. Mm-hmm. I'm like, no, I ain't going to be on no bullhorns with you, but I'm going to support you. So, yeah, I supported that movement. I went to jail. They locked me up. Mm-hmm. I'm still fighting a case for obstructing a highway. When the guy clearly didn't arrest me till I was on the sidewalk, which they know now. They're trying to get me to plead. Okay, we'll let you plead innocent, but you got to say that we had the right to arrest you. I said, oh, no, because you didn't have the right. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. If you're wrong, we're not compromising because you're wrong. Mm-hmm. You're wrong, and you want me to still say no. So I'm fighting that. And no, before that, he wasn't coming down there because I was no longer around him. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know how many white people you know, but the majority of them are going to be very uncomfortable going down west and seeing the people that I see. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm so relevant. Mm-hmm. Because where you know the top floor, I know the bottom floor. And the bottom floor holds up the what? The top floor. Mm-hmm. But people don't want to go down there because they think it's a cesspool of waste. Mm-hmm. When all the inventors and the artists, they're from West. Mm-hmm. They're West. So, no, the Breonna Taylor didn't have anything to do with it, although it enhanced it for him not going down there. And no, I'm not working with none of them because I might put my clown show in there. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm an independent. I understand Republican ain't gonna do shit for the black man. The Democrats not going to do shit for the black man. What they say, the right wing and the left wing is from what? The same bird.
Yeah.
Right? So nobody's going to do anything. No, they're not even. Man, Mitch McConnell, they ain't even acting like they're going to do something for you. Right? You've been in it. I mean, let's be real. Let's be real. And because that's... I don't have time. Like I said, I'm 58. I never had time to compromise with what's something that's right. Mm-hmm. Well, it's wrong, but we can no. It's wrong is wrong and right is right. Right? Don't cut. My granddaughter gets in trouble at school about that. No, that's not right. And she does that. No, that's not right. Oh, no, that's not fair. Yes, you're going to get scrutinized and your own people are going to turn against you. But so what? You got to keep fighting for what you believe in. If you believe in your people, then fight for your people. If you don't, then go on your way and use your education and do whatever you do. And go live high on the hog while we suffer. We suffer. You got 20 rooms in your house, but there's 1,000 people out here living homeless. The homeless, they're not invisible. And that's a population of people that, not saying they deserve something for being homeless, but they deserve something for being a human being. Because anything, I don't know, like I met some of the people and some of the things that you met them, because you've been there. Everybody says stories, not like, man, I'm on drugs and I ain't coming back. Man, my wife died. My kids burned up in the building. I have no desire to live anymore. You know, these are different stories. Mm-hmm. But what we have to do as, I'm telling you what you have to do. I'm not telling you what you have to do, but I'm just saying, I'm suggesting what we have to do is basically start loving one another again. As corny as that sounds, but who want to love another black man, right? They crazy. Them niggas crazy. He don't want to love them. Yeah, no, they're human. I just was at a white guy's house fundraiser. I'm like, I said, why you invite me out here to see this? Now I know I'm poor. You know what I mean? He said, no, what do you mean? What's mad is yours? All that stuff. I said, yeah, sign it over to me. Sign it over to me, right, you and your wife. Don't play with me like that. I mean, this house. Oh, God. I'm poor, man. And we got 3 bedrooms, 2.5 bathrooms, 2 car garages, just me and my wife. Well, my granddaughter now, she's come to stay, but I seem poor, man. Mm-hmm. Where you get all this money from? How are you that much more powerful than me? But they said the wealth gap is 30 times. They beating us by 30 or more on the wealth gap. And then, brother, like I was telling you about the gold chain, don't get me wrong, I ain't mad at her because I got a chain. But it's like, you're not rich because you have that. And you got a pocket full of that. You're not rich. Man, everybody on me on the box. Not me, but maybe like, really? That money is not the money that I just saw. We have to start doing better for each other because one thing about it, the gentrification system is too late. It's too late. Like I said, they got that track there. They're about to build a hotel next door to it. They're about to get the people out across the street from there who live in that apartment complex. Right? All of them gone. They know it. Guess what they got them on now? Month-to-month Section 8 lease stuff over there. Yeah. So I have people over there. So I keep go through there to get the information because I know it's going to happen. That little warehouse is going, she's going to sell. Her husband died. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's over.
Well, don't you think having, like, economic development in that area is overall going to help the community?
Yeah, it's going to help their community.
Yeah. But that was an Urban League project. Yeah.
Okay. And so guess who's... So let me point this. Let me point this a fault in our community. The who? The Urban League. Remember when they came out, they said, hey, bring us your ideals for what you think we should put over in this community.
Yes.
6 people submitted where they was like, oh, okay, these are great. Then we look up and she has the ideal for the track, which came from the 6 people who put in their proposal. Come on, follow me, man. So... Now, keep in mind, white people don't give money like that unless they're invested in the destruction of something that they want. So now she goes and become this great fundraiser, right? But let me take you back when she ran for judge and lost. Couldn't raise a quota. How do I know? Because I was doing Fisher's campaign at that point. And I was bringing in all the black judges. to make sure the Fisher got in too. So that was my strategy. Hey, come see all the black judges, bold letters, right? Then in little letters, and your next marriage. Greg Fisher. That big. But anyway, like they do to you when they selling you something. You don't read everything. Black people just read what they say. Oh man, the black judges are going to be here. Yeah, I done two events with them. All the black judges who was running again, even some that was coming that was in the audience. And it was just packed. Pat. I got to call you right now. John Cole. That's John Cole. So he's about to sell that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, he better.
Yeah.
He has to.
Tell me how. Give me a call because I'll write about it.
Okay. Guess what? Done deal. You don't, that man.
I've been writing about, I was friends with his sister Bonnie.
Bonnie. Okay, so when I got in the game, she was trying to tell me, like, well, Neil, you need to do, because me and him be tired. I was bringing him to his club.
Yeah.
All those things that's going on in his club, that was me bringing him there. Uh-huh. All the community conversations, all the Martin Luther King Day, all that was me. Uh-huh. The West Louisville Urban Coalition.
Okay.
So, but guess what? Like I said, man, we could talk about anything you want to talk about, but I ain't sugarcoat nothing.
Okay.
I ain't all those people that you like, guess what? I don't like them because they're taking advantage of the situation. They're trying to make sure that their families are okay. All the black people who you think are leaders, they're not. Mm-hmm. Because it was, I prove it, right down that community.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care who's coming aboard, who's new. I don't care who that is, Booker and all that. I don't care. Matter of fact, we need to start finding some gangsters, black, and put them in office to fight on our behalf. Because we've been sending in people to do man's work. Not saying that they're not a man, gangster man. Them white, they're gangsters.
Yeah.
You seen that? Come on, man. You see how they act? My name is Neil Robb. You're not saying nothing. I'm saying it.
Yeah.
I know what it is. I worked in Washington, D.C. I saw it hands on. I worked with Marion Barry. I was a peon, but guess what? I'm sitting there, the spook that sat by the door. Now, let me rephrase that. I was the spook who drove the car, listening to things that was going on. How he maneuvered, how he handled people, how he loved people. And that's where I got my love from. That's why I go to our community. Heartbeat. What's going on? Let's fix it. Oh, man, Reverend Johnson said that we should wait a few days. What are we waiting on? They still waiting for the build on 18th and Broadway. Let me know when that happened. Right about that. Well, we just finally broke ground in 2094. Maybe your grandkids will be able to write about it.
Okay.
Because it ain't going to happen in our lifetime.
That's all the questions I had. Is there something that I didn't ask you about that you want
to... All day, all night, I can kick whatever you want.
Okay.
I'm a rapper that never rapped. But I'm kicking the truth. The truth is the light. You know that. So you don't have to agree with me. You don't have to like me. But guess what? Don't you click that off. I'm still talking. I got it hot. No, I'm just playing, man. Hey, thank you, man. I appreciate you, man, but I'm passionate. That's passion, though.